Sambut-sambut.
Hi. Oh, that was a... The music drops is so weird in this, in StreamYard. Because it doesn't fade. I turned it down and it doesn't fade. It just drops off.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, all right, let's do a nice little fade. Let's throw our voices on. And it's just like... Dun, 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 dun. I'm like, okay, well...
It reminds me a lot of Succession.
Oh, well, yes. Actually, someone else mentioned that to me recently. Yeah, I mean, Distant Fires. I love it. I think it's a great track, and I was looking for something new.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
I picked up, had a membership to Slipstream, which is like the service that does the music for gaming and stuff like that. You can get all these rights included tracks to use.
Cool.
And T-Pain's Pizzle Packs, like those packs that he did a while ago, are all available on there. So it started out with me using the instrumentals when I do my Lego builds on my channel. And then as I was looking for tracks, I was just like, yo, this Distance Fires track is pretty good. So then I was just like, well, what if we just use this as our intro? Because I mean,
it's dope.
I was like, hey, Charles is watching. What's up, Charles?
Hey!
If you guys want to check out good music, look up Prince Charlie. He does some dope tracks. He's one of our coworkers. I wish I could play his track right now.
I know.
For those of you who are listening or watching us right now, go find a Prince Charlie track and then listen to it and insert it while we're doing this and then just vibe out with us. Shout out to Lee J. Lee J is also in the house watching. What's up, Lee J? Lee J was hitting me up with some news. Amongst other things, though, I actually saw the news too, but he sent it to me as well. And I figured I would start the show with it because it's kind of crazy. Guys, just for laughs, Montreal files for bankruptcy protection. Yeah, what? you didn't hear this?
I had no idea.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So I get to introduce this insane story to you. So one of the things that I find wild about this, Just for Laughs, which has been in Montreal for some, I think since 84?
Forever, yeah.
Yeah, which is a year younger than me. And remember how I joked about being an old man. So if I'm an old man and they're just a year younger, well, guess what, folks? They old too. But yeah, Just for Laughs, the Montreal company that operates in the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival has canceled the 2024 edition of the event after filing a notice of intention to make a proposal to creditors, a formal process under Canada's Bankruptcy and Insolvency Act.
That is so sad.
Yeah. 75 people were laid off Tuesday morning, according to the festival spokesperson, who called the company's financial situation unsustainable. The company cited lost revenues during 2 years of the global pandemic and challenges facing the media industry, particularly reduced budgets at networks and streaming platforms, as reasons for restructuring. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's a little wild. Actually, Just for Laughs is not owned by Bell, Lee J, just because I saw it. Lee J wrote a note to us. Just for Laughs was... had investments from other people. Maybe Bell was one of its investors, but it's not owned by. And one of the investors is Howie Mandel, actually, who invested recently, from what I understood. So I'm actually really shocked because, you know, I guess he was doing okay, but I've heard Howie Mandel talk about his situation on podcasts, and it sounds like the man made quite a bit of cash when he was hosting Deal or No Deal. Like, he did okay for himself if he was able to get partner up with some people and invest in Just for Laughs to try and keep it alive when it was already having issues. And now, unfortunately, it seems that it hit another problem. The thing that I find the craziest, though, this is the part I was going to mention. They're still doing the Toronto edition of Just for Laughs in September. And that's the part that confuses me.
It's the same owner?
Well, I thought so, but Julien Provencher-Proux. So I apologize for you Anglophones, but I'll say it this way for you, the Anglophones. Julien Provencher-Proux of Just for Laughs says Toronto's Just for Laughs Festival is expected to take place in September. So they're still planning to do the September event in Toronto. What some people are theorizing is they're just essentially looking for a way out of Montreal. The language stuff has gotten a little intense. And one of the things that they are competing with right now in LA, Netflix is doing something called Netflix is a joke. I don't know if you remember when Dave Chappelle got attacked while he was on stage.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That happened at a Netflix is a joke event. So Netflix has their own kind of Just for Laughs festival that they're doing out on the West Coast in LA. It's been gaining momentum. And one of the crazy things, I don't know if people know this, the dude from Just for Laughs moved to Netflix like a year and a bit ago.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I was at Just for Laughs award ceremony maybe 2 years ago. And when he went up to present an award to, I don't remember who he presented the award to, but they said former Just for Laughs, blah, blah, blah. And now the over at Netflix at, and that's how they introduced him. And I was like, oh, Netflix stole one of the dudes who used to run Just for Laughs, like was in the know and has all the contacts. So, yeah, so
I feel like Netflix is just going to take over everything at this point.
I refuse to give Netflix a penny now. I am not giving them a
good
penny.
Good for you. Good for you.
Everything I watch from Netflix is through my sources. I source your content, Netflix. I sail the seas, as I like to say.
You need to teach me your ways. I mean, I use my family account, but still.
Yeah. No, don't worry. I got you. Don't worry, homie. I got you. We gonna talk. For those of you who don't know the sources, don't worry. You know what? When we probably start the Patreon, maybe I'll do a whole thing about the sources on the Patreon. And then you got to pay to get the information on the sources because the sources are great. They provide. Because, and we talked about this a couple years ago on the podcast when all the companies started launching their own streaming sites. We kept saying, eventually, it's going to become too much. Because in the States, you had Netflix, you had Prime, you had Hulu, and that was it a couple years ago. Like, maybe, 5 years ago?
Really? That's it?
Because in Canada, we had Netflix, we had Prime, we had Crave.
Yeah. And then
that was it. There used to be something called Show Me, but that got shut down. It was like Rogers and Shaw and all those guys. So there's like different versions of Crave and stuff, but they all got shut down. And in the end, it was just Crave, Netflix, and Prime. I used to be able to get to Hulu when Hulu first launched here in Canada, but then they started locking down the region thing and even a VPN couldn't give me access to Hulu anymore. So I was like, cool. Yeah. But as far as I knew, those were the only streaming services. Sorry, I'll say major streaming services because there's already other small ones. You know, like Tubi's been around for a minute and some of those other smaller ones with advertising and whatnot.
Yeah.
But then everyone started to realize like, oh, Netflix is just essentially doing what Amazon did to like bookstores. Like you guys are just taking our and selling it and we're getting a percentage. Why are we giving you all our stuff? So Peacock from NBC Universal started, HBO launched their HBO, what was
it? Yeah, there's also Paramount.
Yeah, Paramount Plus, which used to be called CBS All Access.
Yeah.
And you had Peacock, CBS All Access, which is Paramount, Apple TV, Disney Plus,
Crave,
Hulu, Crave.
Mm-hmm.
So all these services. And in one of our episodes, we actually did a breakdown of how much it would cost annually to do
for all of them services.
Yeah, and it came out to like $250 something plus taxes a month if you were to subscribe to the base level plan of all those services, in which case some of those services still had advertising, like Peacock, the lowest tier had advertising when it started.
Yeah, and now Prime is doing advertising now.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons I'm leaving Prime. I'm not staying with Prime. I refuse. My thing with Prime was, and I had this conversation with a friend recently, I don't mind that they want to add advertising. I don't mind that they want to charge a $3 if you want to get rid of the advertising a month. What I do mind is I subscribe to Prime, and I have Prime from October, because that's when I subscribe, to October every year.
Yeah.
And you decided to make your change in January.
So that's most of the year.
Yeah, so most of the year for me, because I had only 2 months, 3 months maybe of the service without ads. And then in January, all of a sudden ads jumped in and I was like, okay, but y'all said like, I already paid for my subscription for the year.
And so there's I guess there's no reduction if you just.
No, it's $3 for everybody. The weird thing, though, that I'm finding is there are shows on Prime that don't have ads. So I was watching news. Yeah, I was watching News Radio yesterday. News Radio is an older show, so I don't know if they didn't want to put ads because they're just like, no one's watching it. It wouldn't pull in enough money. Mm. Not sure. I'm not sure if the, because that's the other thing. As much as I don't like Prime, what it is Prime now has an advertising division. Those guys are in charge of the ad placements. So if I'm a company and I want to put ads on your service, I'm asking you to make sure you put my ads on the most viewed content, because that's where you're going to get the most views, the most eyeballs.
So yeah, which makes sense. Yeah.
Right. So that's why I'm wondering if there's a reason they didn't put ads on something like News Radio, which is a show from like 20 years ago, maybe even more, that people aren't watching, versus this new show that they have, the second best hospital in the galaxy, with Kiki Palmer and Stephanie Hsu, I think, the girl from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
Interesting show, but, and it's new, so people are checking it out because they're advertising it a lot. So there are a lot of ads on that show. I tried watching it through Prime the first time, and there's an ad at the beginning, and it's a 20-minute episode. There's like 3 ads breaks in the 20-minute episodes.
Yeah, same for I've been watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and same for that. There's been a lot of ad breaks.
Oh, yeah. Really? When I first watched it, the first week it said there was an ad at the beginning, and I would say this episode will be presented ad free.
After
this break.
So then it's not Mr. and Mrs. Smith I'm thinking of.
Okay.
But that one does have, they have like 3 ads, I think, before the episode, something like that.
Yeah, and 3 or 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Either way, though, you know what? It's one too many ads. It shouldn't have any ads.
It's like, starting to feel like YouTube.
Yes. Like the whole reason I subscribed to these services was to not have advertising. The advertisers realized, oh, you guys are cutting us out. So they started playing hardball, and now we're going back to the advertising model.
That was the whole point of like moving from TV to streaming services.
The whole point for you guys, advertisers, was to figure out a sneaky way to slide your products into the episodes so that we would get subliminal advertising as opposed to outright annoying commercials that we don't want to watch. And we just end up muting the TV and looking at our phones, because that's what I do. Anytime I'm watching a show with ads now, I just mute the TV, look at my phone for 2 minutes, and then look back up. And if I look up and it went back to the episode, I just rewind to the part that I missed. And I'm like, cool, here we go.
It's a lot like cable TV now.
Yeah, too much like cable TV. And we need, I think people are going to eventually get mad. But also, people are complacent. They just like to have their things and they're willing to just pay. So I don't know. We'll see what they do with it. But it's really sad. I don't know.
YouTube still didn't get me. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing, though. I hope you're not paying for YouTube, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
Homie, like I said, I don't pay for anything. I mean, I sail the seas.
You said nothing.
No, let them know. What are you going to... I got a cease and desist in the email the other day because something that I was watching may have somehow ended up in a space that was linked to my IP address. And I was just like, oh, that's unfortunate. And then I just had to shut down some of my sailing ways.
I haven't gotten one of those since Game of Thrones days, B. What are you out here doing?
Yeah, I know. I forgot to put on my VPN. Is what it is.
And I don't even use... Okay, knocking on wood.
By the way, this is all hypothetical. This is a comedy podcast where we talk about content at the top. We make jokes. Then we review things. Everything we say on here is hearsay, but at best. At worst, a complete bad joke that lands flat and no one laughs at.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is very true. I don't even have a VPN.
As my friend would say, you raw dog the internet?
Hell yeah. Check out my IP, boy. 69.1. Eat it.
What?
Hell yeah. Bell used to send me those cease and desist. I'd be like, yeah, and? Like, really, dog?
Well, they're not going to... I mean, will they really do anything? No, like...
That's the funniest part, because now what they say is... It says in the thing, like, Your IP address has been linked to the uploading of, you know, Paramount Plus's content, blah, blah. However, we will not give your information to the company. And I'm just sitting there like, cool, B, I didn't expect, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to change anything I'm doing. Like,
I want to send them back the meme of Captain Kirk doing this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
whatever.
As people have been saying, and we've mentioned it on this podcast, in a world where ownership doesn't mean, you know, like if you in a world where paying doesn't mean ownership, piracy is not illegal. So if I buy a movie on Apple and then Apple loses the license and then the movie is taken from my collection, then guess what? The next time I want to watch that movie, I am sailing the seas to acquire that content, seeing as I already paid for it. And it is not right that you just get to change these things. Oh, but there's licensing laws, and this is why you have to buy physical media. I bought this from you. I didn't know. You didn't tell me about licensing. Oh, it's in the description and the, you know, your when you sign at the end. Okay. Cool.
It's terrible. In the rules and regulations that you don't read ever.
Go ahead. Yeah, let's play like we all read these rules and regulations. And then that's fine. You know how I can avoid reading the rules and regulations? I just don't subscribe to your services and I sail the seas. That way I don't read anybody's rules and regulations and I'm just at sea with my pirate hat looking dope, you know?
Unfortunately, you're not most people.
No, I know. But that's why, like I was saying,
they're just going to keep doing what they're doing because it works.
When we start the Patreon, we might help people learn a little.
As I put it, and as somebody wisely put it in one of my favorite films, Don't Be a Menace, so their content. I'll just simplify it because the original way is a little bit more, how do you say, chauvinistic. Yeah. And in terms of content creation, it's 5-6 minutes in. I don't really want to swear too much, but
All this to say, crazy enough, we talked about Just for Laughs, and that's what, and Just for Laughs in the article is mentioning that the way the streaming platforms are losing money is one of the reasons that they are having to shut down, because their partners are not willing to give as much money to their events, so on and so forth.
How about because y'all just put on giant parties for celebrities to do cocaine? That's it.
I mean,
the last 5 years, BC before COVID, so 2018-19, when Akeem was telling us about these parties, I was like, oh, so it's over now. Because if you're really going there and not trying to check out a show, which he was, obviously, and he's working, but other people are just trying to get into these parties.
Yeah, I mean, I got into one of those parties.
You got into one of them parties.
I got into one of those parties, and I'll tell you. So, firsthand account of being at the variety party at Just for Laughs 2 years ago.
Like, at the party. Like, you can't even top that party.
Yeah,
you
variety. Got invited to the but party. This is not the late night party. This was a day party. So, I didn't get to go to the night party where they get even crazier.
You're telling me they're partying day and night?
24/7 for 2 weeks.
Okay, Ness.
Bro, it's crazy.
Okay, hold on.
I'm not surprised.
Let's start from the beginning. For Laughs has an event every day. Right, you have all the shows every day for the whole time that they're there. The hotel where most of the people are held, like where the guests are all being put up, has this huge space on one of the third floor,
like a conference room type thing.
Not a conference room. It's just like a kind of a lobby, but it's not the lobby of the hotel. It's just a like kind of a meeting area, like a seating area in the middle. It's circular. It has like a pillar in the middle, and then there's seats all around it.
Okay, like a common space.
Yeah, it's a common space. And then you can put up a bar. And then in the summer, there's doors that open up to like a nice terrace so you can overlook St. Catherine Street and stuff like that. So it's a really nice space. I have been to the evening parties there before my friend Akeem even invited me and hooked me up. Because that space is just open at the hotel. You can just take the elevator upstairs, walk in, and there are just celebrities hanging out there. But the reason
what was that hotel that had the in-ground the pool that people used to go there on Mondays? It's like the same kind of thing.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Yeah, there was a hotel back in the day that you could just go there during the day, 1 p.m., Monday, summers. Everybody would swim, get drunk. Then you could just go. You don't even have to be staying there. So these things happen.
Wow.
So when you go to this hotel, you just take the elevator upstairs and come out. You didn't need a pass. You didn't need to have a room. No one asked you any questions. And you would walk out. And like the times I went, like Patton Oswalt was just walking by. And I was like, yo, Patton Oswalt, you're dope. And he's just like, oh, thanks, man. And like they're all just hanging out there.
And there's no like security or.
Well, there's like the hotel people like walking around, but no one is checking because I don't think they think anybody knew that's where all the celebrities were staying.
And if you're Brian and like me, we walk around with a little air to us where we look like we could be somebody in some court of, yeah. So like,
I mean, I used to work at the radio station, so I knew the radio station used to, like, we did interviews with people there. So I just
knew. Obviously, if you look lost, they're probably going to look at you like, are you supposed to be here?
I would literally walk in and go sit down in the middle. And
fake it.
You're not wrong. Later on in later years, they did have security that would stand and check people's badges so that not everyone could just go sit in that common space. But I would still just go up. I would have a lanyard, the Just for Laughs lanyard, but you wouldn't see my badge because I would put the I didn't have a badge, but I would pretend I had a badge and have it in my pocket. So you just leave the lanyard and then I would just walk in. Because, and this is one of the things one of my friends said to me, never forget, some of these people working security know that some of the people at these events they don't recognize, but might be some of the most powerful people in the industry, and they're not willing to risk their careers messing with someone. So you just walk up looking like you run the place or own the place, and they'll just let you into the space if you have enough confidence. So years later, when they started putting people there, I would just walk in with my bag and just walk right in. And I would go sit down and I would like sit next to like some guy, be like, hey, what time's the meeting? Like, I just say stuff like that. No one questioned anything.
This nigga's looking at you like, who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. Like, what meeting?
I full on sat next to a guy one time and started talking to him because I did meet him before, but he didn't remember me. And I was just like, yeah, I met you with so-and-so. You're the producer for this film. And he's just like, oh, yeah, okay. And then we just started talking. And then he just kept talking with me and telling me stories, but he didn't actually remember me.
Like, he's still trying to figure out if he knows you. I'll tell you.
100%.
You see 100%. His brain be like, Brian's like,
he is story. Running through everyone he met at this festival, every black man he's met at this festival, trying desperately.
Oh, to Jamal. Him. You know Jamal? Yeah, I know Jamal. Yeah. Okay, so Jamal.
And then you can tell he got comfortable because he started bragging about his projects. And I was like, oh, okay, he's good now. He's
Okay.
So anyway, yeah. So a couple years ago, I went up to that space, Patton Oswalt. My best friends went up one year and I couldn't go with them. They hung out with Eric Andre.
No, that's not
because he was just there at the, and they went in the evening. So they went to the evening party because at night, that common space, which is what I was trying to get to, is a party space. So every night, all the comedians that have gone to all the late night shows come back to the hotel and hang out in that spot at like 1 o'clock in the morning, just getting drunk and hanging out.
Okay. So it's like the after party spot. Okay.
Yeah. And then there was also actual after parties at other venues.
For sure. At clubs and whatever. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So I we had our buddy Akeem who's been invited to some stuff. I've been invited to some stuff. There's the year I met Sam J. And told Sam J about my situation with getting tickets, getting messed over. And Sam J invited me to her show and let me, and then shouted me out at the end of her show in front of the whole crowd. And I was just like,
Brian. I was like,
yeah, no joke. Sam J is on stage and goes, yo, shout out to my, you know, thank you to so-and-so that this, and shout out to my boy, Brian, where are you? And I was just like, and in my head, I was just like, she cannot be talking about me. And she's just like, I met you on the street, Brian. And I was like, here? And she's like, yeah, shout out to my boy Brian. Couldn't get in, but we got him. And I was just like, hi. And everyone's just like,
glare.
Like, who is this man? Why are we?
I love celebrities like that.
So yeah, good. Sam J is fantastic. So Just for Laughs has had parties and has done well for it. As someone who's watched this happen before, because CMJ, I've talked about CMJ in the past, College Music Journal in New York. They used to do that festival every year. And I watched that festival over 10 years get progressively poorer and poorer as the music industry lost money. Like the first year I went to that festival, porn stars were hanging out. like Tara Patrick showed up one day.
Oh, snap.
And we're all like, what the hell is Tara Patrick doing here?
Currently looking her up.
Yeah, Tara Patrick was a very famous porn
star. That's
an
OG,
in the 2000s. And she just randomly showed up with her husband, who is an actor, and was just at CMJ at the hotel. And
Tara, we were all sorry, like, repeat her name again.
Tara Patrick. T-E-R-A Patrick.
Yeah.
But it was just crazy. Like, that's how much, like, all and, like, this is when MySpace was still a thing. So, like, MySpace money was there. And, like, all these companies had money. Everyone, big parties, big parties, free alcohol, all that stuff. And then eventually, year by year, you just saw it get, like, less people.
Free alcohol to people. Drink tickets.
Yes, exactly. Free alcohol turned into drink tickets. Venues, a lot of the venues started shutting down. The number of people who had wristbands that would be, like, everyone with a wristband could get in. That turned into, like, 50 people with wristbands only. That turned into, like, 20 people with wristbands. The rest had to pay. It just turned into stuff like that. And then that's, I guess that's what, you know, CMJ, Just for Laughs, they're all going to get hit, and the industry is just going to keep changing. And then
what's going to happen to the city between, because that was the filter between jazz, like, it literally be June Jazz Fest and, like, not even a break, but that Just for Laughs, actually June Jazz Fest, Franco Foley, Batap, so on and so forth. And then you'd have, like, NASCAR and all.
We'll be fine.
Hey, you skipped Comic-Con.
Yeah, no, but
sorry.
Don't worry, Skinny. If I'm being honest, honestly, don't worry. There's so many festivals in Montreal. Just for Laughs was a huge festival, but if anything, it was a festival that took away visibility from some of the other festivals that were happening at the same time.
Right.
Like, there's Fringe Fest. Yeah, Fringe Fest in Montreal, if I'm not mistaken, happened at the same time. They have a lot of performers who do, like, one person shows and
has this been going on for a long time?
Fringe Fest has been going on for a good couple 10 years.
Because every summer I get upset that these festivals plan everything at the same time.
Yeah,
because they want to keep everyone outside, so they just overlap each other.
Yeah,
but then
it'll start at Grand Prix,
yeah,
which has been moved down a week. It used to be the weekend of my birthday. It'd be Grand Prix, and then just nonstop till August, and you'd be like, "Whoa!"
But when they overlap or when they're at the same time, like, you're losing customers and people going to your festivals, like. I don't know.
So I will say, I've heard this argument. I heard someone's made the argument, and they made this argument with regards to music, but it applies here.
Especially music, yeah.
Yeah, but they were talking about, like, music releases. Let's say you find out Beyonce is dropping an album on this Friday, the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And you are planning to drop your album on the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
You're now like, oh, maybe I shouldn't drop it on the 8th. I don't want to compete with Beyonce. One of the other people was saying, no, drop it on the 8th, because when you go on, when people are looking for Beyonce stuff, you're also going to be on the to be discovered or the new releases page. And that's why when people are saying, like, Just for Laughs happens in Montreal, guess what? People are in the city. They're already here. You're doing your festival. If they don't get into a show, if they're downtown or something, and you have something going on, you're that other movie that they couldn't get into. Oh, I wanted to get into Dune. I can't see Dune. Let me go into One Love. Oh, I can't get into Just for Laughs. There's a Fringe Fest show that's also comedy. Okay, maybe I'll check this out. Who knows? I know you're not, Genesee, you're making that face because you're thinking it's not going to be a high percentage. But even if it's 10% of the Just for Laughs crowd, that's still way
more. You also, like, as a guest, or I don't even know what to call it, but as someone going to these festivals, it upsets me that I have to miss one or that I have to pick one over the other because it's at the same time.
But so you're saying that as someone from Montreal. If you're not from Montreal and you're visiting the city, if these are all happening at the same time, like, I'm not going to come to Montreal if I'm not from Montreal, or let's say I do this in Toronto, I'm not going to stay in Toronto for a month to go to all your different festivals.
We're doing this for tourists, or we're doing this for the city?
Oh, homie, they're doing it for tourists. I'm sorry.
All day tourists.
I don't think for a second these people care about us.
They don't care about us.
Do you think Montreal festivals care about Montrealers? Let's
be
honest. No,
but it's just, I don't know. We'd
like have parking on St. Catherine if they cared about us.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care about us. They're not trying to have us beat out. Oh, you want to come to this festival? Can't park? No. This is a little side.
Yeah.
I went to a show. I don't go out much. I went to a show on the weekend. Shouts to CL. And I went on Mount Royal. It was whatever they call it. Nuit Blanche?
Yeah.
Stupidest night to drive ever, apparently. It was a really dumb night for me to drive, but I did it.
Oh, that's crazy.
Parking on Mount Royal.
Yeah.
So not even Royal. So parking on Saint Denis in Mount Royal. So let me rephrase that. 3 years ago, I could do it. No problem.
Oh, right? No, not anymore.
But now Saint Denis is bike path.
Yeah.
With featuring the street. It's just bike path featuring the street. So when you're trying to park, you're like 2 feet off of the sidewalk. And for an old G head like me, who's not using his camera in his car to park,
yeah,
I'm using that sidewalk as my, you know, like,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, I'm good. This mess with your kind of park, and then you got to get between, and the streets mad busy, and you got like every Uber driver just hazarding and staying there for 9 hours. Listen,
yeah, I have to park. And you have bikes coming up as you're trying to park, so you're trying to pull into the spot, but not accidentally go into the bike path. Yeah, I know the
say word. I got downtown at, I left here at 8. I got downtown at 8:30. I got out of my car, walking to where I was going, 9:14.
Oh, Jesus. I knew it. Yeah. I knew you were going to say, yeah.
When you're going to a show now, don't drive. I would avoid it.
I was like, oh, I need to get home fast in case I got to bounce. I just want to zip.
No.
Yeah, but no, it took me an hour to get home.
Yeah.
At least like drive to a metro.
And then... Yeah. Because Janessa was and I went to Burna Boy last week.
Yeah.
And I was going to drive. And she was just like, don't drive, homie. Don't drive. Don't do it. And I really wanted to drive because I was just like, yo, it's going to be cold after when we leave the show.
I know. And you're like, oh, it's convenient. We could just like, you could just hop in the car and go home.
Yeah.
No, one of my boys got caught up in that and he was like, no. Like somebody left a cell phone in their car and he had to drive through the. I parked at Laurier near Laurier Metro, but the secondary Laurier Metro. So, you know, there's the first one near. Entrance? Yeah. The other secret near St. Joseph that nobody talks about or whatever.
Yeah.
So, went over there, parked. I was like, cool, I guess. Like, I at this point, it was like, no parking here between 9 and 11. I was just like, bun that. Like, I'm just going to, let me just eat the ticket, go to the show. I didn't get a ticket, knock on wood. But, like, it's just like, come on. I'm never coming.
Most people know, though, like, a lot of my friends and they're driving, they'll just park in a place where they can get a ticket. And they're like, whatever, I'll just pay for the ticket.
Yeah, I'll take the L.
Yo, Skinny told me to do that one time. I remember we were supposed to be going to Nerdstock, and I'm driving around, and I'm just like, yo, I can't find parking. He's just like, man, just come park on St. Catherine. I'm like, yeah, there's literally signs that say no parking. It's just like, dude, everyone's parked here right now. Who cares? I'm like, no, I'm not gonna.
And it was like, it was like 2021, so we had just started getting back outside. Yeah. Rules didn't make no. People weren't paying attention. People were like, what?
Remember, I still got a ticket that night.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, because I had to park. I parked in another spot.
Yeah,
did the sign properly, and still got a ticket anyway. So I parked 20 minutes, like 20 minute walking. Still got a ticket.
Was it a bad ticket? Like really?
Not the usual.
They're all $90.
$90, whatever.
Yeah. They're all like, oh.
No, but there's some areas, it's like, it's more expensive. Yeah,
they hit you with a 114.
Yeah. Yo,
all I know is the worst ticket I ever got, I cleared my name and I got it acquitted. So them for trying to hit me with the $500 texting while driving ticket.
Nice. I got a nice cool bill of the SAQ for getting to send us our registration bill.
SAAQ,
sorry.
Yeah, Montreal DMV.
Not the alcohol folks. Yeah. They forgot to send me my registration bill. First time I called, the lady's like, right, like off rip. Yeah, there was a printer problem. Okay. Well, I didn't hear you when you said that. Yes, sir. Well, if you were listening, I don't know what's up with people thinking that I'm
overcut. Yeah.
If you were listening, I didn't overcut you, but okay, maybe this is another person. You would hear that there was a printer issue, so we didn't send out the bills to certain people. I was like, that's a little strange, but sure. Can you tell me like what my options are? Because your hours are really not friendly for people who have children who have to work. Like y'all are open from 10 to 4. That don't make no sense. They're like, yeah. So the girl on the phone. So your option is you can either give me your banking information and I'll pay it for you, or you can go in person. I'm almost like, sorry, no.
Yeah. You must be mad.
I will go in and I call back the next day. The girl's like, so it's under your wife? I'm like, yeah. They're like, yeah, so we have this whole thing that when you go to the SAAQ site, there's a pop-up that's like a flash that basically asks you in like the most rudimentary French, and it's no English translation, hey, do you want all your paper stuff digitally now? And usually most people are just going to click to get rid of it.
Right, yeah. They don't pay
apparently attention. Danny clicked that. We didn't see it. Da-da-da-da-da. The greatest bill from $299.32 to register your card. At that point, just make it $300.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do with like 77 cents?
Like, yeah, I will say this though. I got I had to go pay for my registration. This is some old folk shit that we're talking about right now. I had to go pay for my registration. And I will tell people, any chance you get to deal with the DMV in your state, or if you're dealing with the SAAQ in Quebec or whatever they're calling every other province, if you have the option to make an appointment, make an appointment. Make the appointment. Because that's what we did. I started making the appointments. I started checking. You can make an appointment. It's like weird how long the appointment will take, but if you plan it in advance, you'll be able to make the appointment and you show up the day and there's a line outside around the corner, but you still get just to walk right in. And people will give you the nastiest cut eye on earth, but it's just like, hey, I made this appointment 2 months ago. 2 months ago, I put in to make this appointment. It's not on me. I'm here because I had to wait.
Madness.
Yeah.
Absolute madness. No matter.
But Montreal's getting crazy like that.
I don't know how we're going to sustain our summers, because I was like, okay, what I liked about JFL is there's just random celebrities here. So
yeah,
like, you could, like, I am never going to randomly meet Chappelle now.
Yeah, I've met Chappelle. Yeah,
I haven't. Yeah. Everybody I know, people, like, you know, the people, like, you got, you know, when you got friends.
Yeah.
And you're the one who's into entertainment, but you got your friend who's like went to business school at John Molson, and you meet Chappelle, and you're like, nigga, that's not supposed to be you.
Yeah, you don't care that you
mentioned. What are you gonna do with that? Yeah. Hey guys, I met Tim Curry or something. Yeah. It's like, you know, hey, it's Tim Meadows. That's Dave Chappelle. That's not Tim Meadows. they look
that's different. Wild. That is wild if they said I met Tim Meadows, and you're like, no, that's what are you talking?
That's a dude from The Office, man.
I've gotten to meet, because of Just for Laughs, I got to meet Chappelle, Patton Oswalt, Wanda Sykes, Darnell Rawlings, Jordan Key and Peele,
the big dogs, both
of them, because I met them together after their show. After their show at Place des Arts, they were just walking around to the metro. I literally just bumped into them walking in the metro. They weren't, like, I was so confused when I bumped into them, because I was like, where are you guys going? They're just like, oh, we're going out. We're just hopping on the metro. I was like,
y'all don't know where you're going. Are you crazy? Let me take you.
That's the thing, right? Montreal is so chill in some places to some people that they're just like, I don't care. These people don't know us. Because I remember I told you the time I met LeVar Burton, and then I was standing outside with LeVar Burton while he's having a cigarette. Him and I are standing.
At Comic-Con?
No, I met him. He had a tweet up, which, like, back when Twitter used to be cool and celebrities used
before it. Before it turned into X.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, with that BS. So he did a tweet up, like, 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. Like, he just said, hey, Montreal, I'm going to be in your town. Where should I go? And people are just like, oh, go to the... He picked a Sir Winston Churchill pub. He's just like, okay, I'm going to be Winston Churchill pub Saturday night.
That's random.
Yeah, super random.
That's an old, like, man rub up on you bar, man.
Yeah, exactly. So he picks Winston Churchill pub. He's going to be there at 7 o'clock on Saturday. Show up if you want to show up. So we showed up. Me and my friends went, a bunch of us, and he showed up. So at one point... So he recognized me from my... picture on Twitter.
He singled out the black one.
Yeah, pretty much. So when he walked in, he goes, oh, fantastic, because my tag used to be fantastic cypher. He's like, oh, fantastic, and I was just like, oh, snap.
Say what is LeVar Burton saying my name. Cool.
Yeah. So he ends up sitting at my table with me and my friends for the night. But, like, he's not staying at the table, but he leaves his jacket there and his stuff there.
Yeah, you're basically watching his stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all are homies now. It's good.
Yeah. So he goes off, and then at one point, he's like, oh, I'm going to go for a smoke. I'm like, oh, I'll come with you. He's just like, cool. So I go outside, and I'm standing with LeVar Burton having a smoke on Crescent in Montreal. Busy-ass street. Nobody. No one recognized.
I love it.
No one recognized Jordy LaForge from Star Trek, or the host of Reading
Rainbow. Oh, shit, Reading Rainbow. You smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, Reading Rainbow.
Like, can you imagine being standing next to one of the most recognizable actors of your... Like, to you, this is one of the most recognizable faces that you grew up with, and every person on the street walking by, no clue who they are.
But he also, like, because I met him at Comic-Con, and he walks around like he owns the place, and, like, almost as if, like... I don't know. It's like, for him, it's not You know I'm not why? Working. He's just like, I'm chilling. I'm talking to everyone.
Here's the reason why. Because in his head, he's like, I taught all you niggas how to read.
Yeah.
All y'all know how to read because of me. That's facts.
That is so good. I mean,
kind of, yeah.
He did. But that's it. Like, there's like people who walk by. These two cute French girls walk by at one point, and LeVar is just like, not flirting, but was just kind of like, oh, hi. And the girls are just like, bonjour. Like, you know, pure Quebec, like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're talking French. They don't speak English. So he's just like, oh, and I'm like, oh, I'll translate. And he's just like, oh, just tell them I'm just saying hello. He's like, oh, he like in French. I'm like, il vous dit bonjour. And they're just like, okay. And I'm just like, and I look at them. I'm just like, vous reconnaissez pas l'acteur? They're like, acteur sur quoi? And I'm like, Star Trek, Reading Rainbow. Comme c'est un des animateurs d'une émission d'enfants, un des plus populaires dans le monde, like one of the most popular faces for children education in the world, not just like North America, in the world. Reading Rainbow was like a PBS show.
But if you're French,
it ain't Pastoral too, it ain't nothing.
Exactly. And I said that. I said, it's like the equivalent of Passepartout in English. And they were just like, oh, wow, okay. And then they're just like, and then they just kept walking. And LeVar was just like, wow, okay, I guess that didn't impress him. And he
said, damn, I ain't shit.
Yeah, it took a drag. And then we went back inside. And that was it.
Oh, man. Yeah, in Montreal, great. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. We have a reputation like that. Because I think, is it Madonna who says she likes to come to Montreal because no one even talks to her when she's walking down the street?
No, she's not the only one. There's yeah. All the Botox.
No one even recognizes her. Oh, damn. No, I'm not being mean. It's just, I don't know what Madonna looks like now. I saw a picture. I'm like, oh, cool.
I was scared once when I saw a picture she posted on Instagram.
Face pulled
oh,
back
really? No. Well, I saw a picture of her with Eric Andre recently because he ended up at her show. And then you know how Eric Andre is. He had his bare ass and everything. And Madonna was like sitting next to him being like, ha, 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 ha. And I was like, oh, God, this is.
Did you recognize her?
I mean, I knew it's her because I like it's her IG. So I was just like, oh. But it's okay. Also like her on stage with Eric Andre. Like you can recognize. You guys say that, but you would recognize Madonna if you saw Madonna. Let's not act crazy.
I don't know.
You don't
know? Nah, I don't know.
Oh my God!
I don't know.
Because there was a time Madonna switched up so many times I didn't recognize her. Like, okay, Madonna doing Vogue and she had the short blonde hair and she kind of had the Marilyn Monroe look. Like, got that, cool. And then she did the sex book and it was cool. And I was like, all right. Then she did Take a Bow, and in that video, I'm almost like, who is this woman? She did not look at all the same between. One,
I don't remember what she looks like.
Take about her, like her hair is super. It's right before she did
Evita.
Her hair is super blonde, but like her eyes are big because she's not wearing any eye makeup to make them darker. And I was really like, who is this woman?
There's an era where she had black hair and she was doing the like Che Guevara, whatever.
Yeah,
and I was just like, this is a vibe. I like this. I like this Madonna.
Well, Madonna switched up so many times. I don't know.
But I would recognize her based off her like her outfit because she's very bold.
Yo, Ness, are you really saying you don't think you would recognize Madonna if you saw her
face? Birthday? I don't know.
Yeah, okay, smile.
We got to pull up pictures because y'all got me thinking like
no, because I feel like I can recognize her off of like specific looks that she's known for. Like that's what I have in my mind when I think of Madonna. But if I just saw her on the street in a regular t-shirt and jeans, like I don't know if I'd recognize her.
This is wild because you guys
also Madonna's not she's not the only one that said that. There's a lot of artists, musicians, actors who have said that no one recognizes them on the street
in Montreal.
Like it's not the first time,
or
yeah,
just in general. Oh, okay,
in Montreal,
you know.
Okay, I'm gonna like, add
this. I feel like we're like a trending city. It's like if you're trending, if you're trending, people will recognize you and like come up to you.
Yeah, probably.
But if you're not trending,
meh,
no one cares.
Yeah, so I'm not recognizing that. Stop.
Sorry.
This guy said, "Woo!"
Okay, as I've mentioned before, if you guys are listening to this, by all means, please jump onto Spotify or watch us on YouTube. But if you're on Spotify, you can click open to watch the video, and you will see the moment in which Ness saw Madonna's face and got scared. She got so scared. I could just send you the picture. You know, I like
who's the villain from Guardians 3?
I just like.
No, but for real, she's got the pullback. Like, dude. All you gotta, you know what I'm saying?
Brian, I'm sorry. I can't agree with you on this. You told me that looks like Madonna?
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
I know it's Madonna. Y'all are
give
crazy.
Me an earlier photo and I will show you Madonna. And okay. If you can get like a timeline of Madonna, I'll tell you, show the exact point where nobody recognizes Madonna.
Look at Madonna 20 years ago. She looks
actually
nothing
after
like
the
that.
Music video. That's kind of where I stopped recognizing Madonna.
You guys are so funny. Okay, so I'm looking for Madonna circa 2000.
Yeah. Dude, okay. 2000, 2010, 2020. It's terrible to do that to somebody, but, you know.
Hold on. Let me try and do the evolution of evolution of Madonna. Let's see if we can find pictures of her through the ages. Y'all are crazy.
I mean, we are also just shocking it up to old age. So, like, when me and Brian are gray like that, then, you know.
Hey, man, I already said I'm
owning it.
What's I'm owning it.
Salt and pepper?
I'm owning it a bit. I mean, people ask me. Some guy at the store the other day. Hey, how old are you? 38. He's just like, nice. I'm gonna say nice. I guess. So hopefully I don't go past this, but otherwise, you know.
No, but like people like Madonna are not owning it.
Oh no, because she's doing all the pullback.
It's just it's too much.
Susan Sarandon owns it, and Selma. She owns it.
But Selma Hayek looks like she still looks fantastic. Like, I don't think she's ever had anything done, but she just looks great. I don't know what her secret is.
Yeah, no idea.
Okay, yeah. So, this is just mean. This is. I found. I'm gonna share this. I feel bad right now sharing this because it's a mean what they did.
Show it.
Yeah.
Show it.
I'm sharing it. Hold on.
Show it now.
So they did this tool where you can slide across Madonna when she was younger. And then slide over to show.
You see what I mean?
So this is Madonna when she was younger.
No, it's not. Who's that?
That's Madonna when she was young.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
And then you go to like Madonna as we know her. The
Whoa, Digivolve too.
Oh my god, she was so cute. What does she do to herself? Well, I don't understand.
Ness, you're young. You don't. This is how Madonna looked when I was a kid.
This is how I know Madonna. I was introduced to her.
Okay.
Show her like a prayer.
I know her like this. I just don't understand. Like looking at her pictures right now, I don't understand what she did to herself.
Little Kim type plastic surgery.
So
exactly.
This is Madonna.
Little Kim too was so cute.
Oh, Little Kim was very cute, and she really liked
it. That's the one. That's it. See, that's
the last. This is the last version of Madonna. This is Madonna 2004.
Yeah,
Madonna 2004. You know, she kind of Guy Ritchie and her just kind of living that life. Had her daughter Lourdes, and then we started getting into like the surgeries because you could see the cheekbones.
She looks normal there. Yeah.
But like, look at her, how long her face is here, and then look.
Yeah, but
rising.
You can.
Yeah.
Like people do Botox, and it looks natural, right? It's just it becomes a problem when it's like.
There it is. There's a switch.
This is when she started. See, doing, like the weird.
She's
stuff.
Doing too much. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a wig. And then this. Yeah, no.
Anyways,
that final form is crazy, bro.
Yeah.
we were supposed to talk about movies and ended up going on a wild tangent talking about Madonna. We haven't even gotten close to talking about the stuff we were supposed to talk about. This is insane, but it is what it is. Madonna, we love you. I know. God. That's a Madonna. We were talking about about how cool Montreal is and how people don't care. Yeah.
Don't worry, this will bring us back somehow. I don't know how you guys will feel about it, but I'll test it with the crowd. So for those who don't know, I have a young one. She is named after a lioness queen, Sarabi. Cool.
Yeah.
Neighbors just get a new dog. Why is it the fuck that they called that thing Nala? Right?
Rude.
Right? Okay. So I'm not crazy because my wife's like, oh, this is cool. And I'm like, nah, this ain't cool. I'm not.
They know your kid's name is Sarabi.
Rat.
I was just gonna ask. Do they know?
Yeah, they know.
And then they named their kid their
they
dog.
They got a puppy that's a month old and called it Nala.
Maybe you inspired them.
Inspired, man. I'm inspired. Yes.
How are you gonna inspire someone to name their
dog? Like,
the dog. Don't name your dog from the same family as I named my. Don't name any. Pick any other. 101 Dalmatians.
How many? Yeah, Pongo, Pajita, yeah, whichever.
Any dog, but don't use the name in the family and the film that. I named my daughter after a queen. You're going to name your puppy after a prince? Get the fuck out of here. What are you doing?
I mean, if it was same lineage.
No, it's probably after Lion King.
It's 100% after Lion King. That's why we did that.
But still.
But it's also
Now I'm confused. Wait.
His daughter's name is the queen mother in Lion King, Mustafa's wife.
Sarabi.
Oh, you're actually talking about the movie. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that, first of all. I was taking it as if it's an actual like royal family.
No. It might be in the future.
Wow, nice name.
Who knows when she rules over the light skins, we'll see. but we don't know. but it's just
I see. Okay. But yeah,
weird.
You definitely inspired them.
Yeah,
but I like that. I inspired them. In my head, I almost
feel
like
a way, but okay.
Yeah.
I too would feel a way.
One song playing in my head, like some type of way.
And it's not like it's a child, it's a dog, so yeah.
Which is even worse.
That makes it worse for me.
Good name on a dog.
But I'm playing devil's advocate here, but like in their defense, there's a lot of dogs named Nala.
Isn't the name Nala used for the dog in Korra, the last Airbender?
Let's see, probably.
Probably. I myself have friends with dogs named Nala. Like,
you put Nala in that straight up, the first thing is Lala.
Oh no, the dog's name is Naga, N-A-G-A.
Okay. Oh.
Skinny, you know what you should do?
Excuse my ignorance, because I didn't know about the name.
It's all good.
No, that's fine. Skinny, you know what you should do? You should just start calling their dog Naga and be like, yeah, it's the dog from Korra, right? And they're like, no, Nala. You're like, yeah, Naga. Yeah, okay, cool. And then just disregard the name.
What? I'm sorry, Kay. Yeah. Naga, shout out to you, Naga.
They don't, you get to pick, guys. I do want to talk about this really quick, but I feel like we should talk about Dune more.
Oh, that's where because I haven't seen it, and I'm gonna want to see it, but I don't think it'll be boring, like our friend Dave said.
I know Dave is wild,
wiling out here.
Dave, yeah, I tried not to read it because I only saw it last night, and you guys were talking about it, so
Dave was talking about how he saw Dune 1 and found it boring,
yeah. I'm gonna watch him back to back.
One.
Yeah, he was talking about Dune 1. And that's why I was actually hoping you would jump in because I was like, Dave, what are you talking about? But yeah, Dave.
I'm gonna go back tonight.
Cuss him out. Dave!
Dave all of a sudden was just like, I don't know, man. Movie's kind of predictable. It's like, yes, most of these guys.
Well, it is based on a book that's been made into a movie that's been made into
also,
a TV
yeah.
show.
I was gonna so, say, like, if yeah. you know the story of Dune.
Kinda, he says he didn't know the story of Dune, but he could predict what was going to happen. I'm not going to lie. If you watch as much TV and movies as we watch, you're going to predict this stuff.
You say Dune, yeah. I think glowing lights and spice. That's it. Like glowing eyes, spice. That's when.
You know. But to be honest, I'd be mad if it didn't happen the way it did.
Yeah, like I'm watching Dune 1, and I'm just like, oh, the dad died. Shocking. Like, I knew the dad was gonna die. What do you mean?
As he should. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how all these movies start. One of the parents was gonna die, and I'm guessing it's not the one who's trying to connect him with a secret society of like witches with superpowers. No, it's gonna be the dad who is just a regular ass man.
That poor cares father. For the people with a big heart. Yeah,
that poor
it's
man.
Always the good guy that dies.
Oh my god, duh. Every time. The good influence in your life. This man said to his child, when the child said, "Dad, I don't know if I want to be the crown prince," and he's just like, "You know, if all else fails, the only thing you'll ever have to be is my son." And his motherfucker is like, I remember watching that scene and be like, "This motherfucker loves his son." Yeah. and then, but no, they're out here being like, Dave's out here being like, "It was boring. I could tell who's gonna die." Yes. Yes, we all knew who Duncan Idaho with a name like that was gonna die. I'm sorry,
Duncan Idaho. Yeah, you're out of here, bro.
I totally understand though. Like, some people's take on it is just, oh, it's just another white savior movie.
100%.
Sure, sure. It is what it is. Yeah. But
like
for what it is, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's. I like the movie, but like you can watch the movie and realize that yes, one, he's a white savior. Two. They are playing up the Muslim, Islam, Arabic country stuff so hard. My God.
That's true.
It feels uncomfortable in the second one at times when you see them doing the prayers and they're like doing the stuff that I've seen Muslims do where they're like washing it over them.
Oh, they do and I'm that.
Like, I'm like, yo,
yeah,
y'all are just full on being Muslim. But you know what?
But I wonder if it was on like
it has to be on purpose because it's 10,000, it's the year 10,191. So in my head, I'm like, yeah, maybe this is what Islam
is. Yeah, but I'm like, is it like what makes it offensive? Like where's the line, right? Yeah. Like it's like it uncomfortable a bit because it's like, yeah. For me, it was
more discomfort in watching it because I was just like, you are definitely taking from Arab nations and like their practices. And, you know, like at one point I was in a chat, I was in the comment section of something and someone was just like, well, you know, in the movie, it's not about race. It's about class. Like it's a class system.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can say that, but your class system has everyone of lower class depicted as a person of color and everyone of upper class depicted as white. And the person never replied to me because I was like, I don't know what movie you're watching, but guess what? all the lower class people were Arab or brown, Zendaya mixed. And then all the upper class people are Florence Pugh, Austin Butler.
Where was Batista?
Batista.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Batista. Yeah, but remember, Batista doesn't look like a person of color in the movie. They have him painted all white.
Oh.
He's a Harkonnen, so he looks like Austin Butler's character, where they have the all white thing. So
I don't want to spoil anything, but
I did a full spoiler review on the page on FXA Media. You guys can go check out. So
yes, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah,
actually, I only saw the movie yesterday, but I was not happy how they used his character. I don't want to.
You weren't happy how they used his character. Austin Butler.
Austin Butler. Yes.
Oh, interesting. Was he different from the books?
I didn't read the books.
Oh, okay. Because from what I understand, he's very true to the character.
No, maybe it's true to the story, but I just didn't like that aspect of it. Like, I didn't like how his character was used. Okay. I feel like he had so much more potential, and they just...
Oh, yes. He is
I don't want to spoil anything, but...
I mean, I don't feel bad saying this. He is essentially the yin to Paul Atreides' yang. Like, he's his counterbalance. Yeah. And even referenced this so by some other characters. So I think, and this is something that I found about the movie. I understand that Paul is the hero from what I'm learning now, because everyone decided to spoil the other books for me and tell me what happens in comment sections and stuff without me even meaning to. Like, I just open my replies in IG, and people are just like, "Well, if you didn't know, blah 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 blah." I was like, "Oh, yo, y'all didn't have to spoil." But anyways, Paul Atreides is the main focus. It does feel very much like a white savior story because it is, you know, Timothée Chalamet doing his thing, and you're kind of like, okay, I get it. He's a white dude who is going to be the leader, the religious figure for this Arabic culture,
or
Arabic placed, like, influenced or styled culture. His mother, who's a white woman, takes over as the spiritual, like, leader.
The mother,
essentially she becomes the Virgin Mary of this culture.
Yeah, I can't remember what her name is already, but her name is Mother or something.
Yeah,
Reverend Mother?
Reverend Mother.
Yeah.
She's like the Virgin Mary of this culture. So, you know, and yes, it's a lot of whitewashing within the culture. Because even one of the main things that I liked about the movie is the fact that Zendaya's character, Shani, constantly being like, bitch, it's supposed to be one of our own people. Why are y'all bending the knee to this white man and his mother?
And she was another character I didn't think that they used.
Thank you.
Well.
Oh, I can't wait till you watch my review then, because I say that in my review. I had much to say about the use of not even just her, all the women in the story I felt were used in a way that didn't impress me. And I understand like I said, I understand that Paul Atreides is the lead. He's the focus of the story, and mm-hmm. it is watching his rise.
So yeah.
But I
need to read the books, but...
Yeah, I know, right?
I do actually like how they use the mother, though.
Okay.
I think she's a great actress, and she was giving some, like...
Yeah, she was doing... Yeah, Rebecca
Ferguson. Amazing performances. Yeah.
Ferguson really brought it.
But yeah, Zendaya's character, I think they underused.
Yeah.
But also, even Austin Butler.
Yeah. Like, Florence Pugh, too. I didn't think she did all that impressive. Florence
Pugh also, exactly. Yeah. Like, she's a great actress, and I did not see that in this movie. Yeah. So,
yeah, I was going to say, based on the press tour, I expected those actors to have so much more. And then when you watch the movie, you're just like, oh, you guys were just the focus on the press tour because you're famous and not because
that's
you
do the thing. More. Even Anya Taylor, like.
Oh, yeah, true. I forgot.
Like, she was there. Are you kidding me? That pissed me off. I'm not going to lie. That was the one thing in the movie that I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, plus it was this huge thing when they were on the press tour. It was this huge thing how like everyone was freaking out that she was the surprise guest, the surprised face in the movie. And it was like, for that?
Yeah, she was in the movie less than... The girls are in their costumes in the Madam's Web movie.
I think, like, it was like a total of 30 seconds.
Yes. She literally, and I, do you even hear her voice for more than 30 seconds?
Yeah, I think you do. Okay. There's a couple times where like her and Paul are talking.
Yeah.
But it's just.
I know.
And then Austin's character, it's like, okay, I understand for the sake of the movie, they had to like create a villain that's more interesting and blah 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 to like fight Paul and whatever. But it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it was all this build up for like 30 seconds.
You didn't make his character intimidating enough for me to care when they have their boss fight. Because
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
you gave me one scene of them fighting, of him fighting to show his like his fighting prowess, and the people he fought were all injured. And I'm like, what? This doesn't impress me. And then you tried to spin it like, oh, not everyone was injured. Two of them were injured, but one of them was okay. And you're like, no, one of them gets attacked and his shoulder gets injured while he's fighting. And then Austin Butler's character, Fed Rautha, wins. And you're like, well, you didn't win a fair fight. You know, like this wasn't a real fight. You're not intimidating.
That's why, like, but as an introduction to his character, I was like, okay, whatever. They're trying to make him look like a badass, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, I thought before the ending, he was going to at least have a couple more fights in between that were interesting. Yeah. You know, it's just his character had so much potential.
Yeah.
And then it was like,
I'll describe him to people. Yeah, I'll describe him to people. It's funny you say psych. I was going to say he's essentially playing Patrick Bateman, American Psycho, but in Dune. Because you know when like it's the you know like when the girl comes in with the knife and he's just like, is it sharp enough? And he's just like, and he just stabs somebody. Like he stabs
for
like,
no reason.
No reason. He just starts like digging. Like, I don't know if you guys know that expression. But in prisons, when they stab someone, they call it digging when they repeatedly stab the same area. He does that to this girl, and you're like, what the fuck is happening?
That's what I'm saying. It's like they made him this like crazy character who's like out of control. And then it's just like all this buildup for like that. And you're like, really? Like, maybe it's true to the story in the book, but I absolutely love how it was directed. Denis Villeneuve is
a king. Did you hear the story of how they shot the fight scenes that he had in the gladiators pit?
I didn't look at anything because I only watched it last night and I got home late. So
the fight in the gladiators pit is black and white inverted.
Huh?
So that's why it has that kind of crazy kind of color scheme to it. It's black and white inverted so that the colors would have that kind of weird, intense detail to them.
Sorry, let me just see which one you're talking about.
The gladiator pit. So you know when he's fighting the three guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're spoiling that he fights three guys, but it's in the trailer, so I don't feel like I'm killing you guys with this one. guess
but
what?
I did notice that during that scene. I was like, why did it change?
So that's it. So under their sun, it's supposed to look like that because they have a black sun. So, you know, like when you're under a black light, it does that weird effect. So they use that mentality to be like, okay, cool. We're going to invert everything under the black
sun. Oh, that's cool.
And I was just like, oh, that does look good. Yeah. So I was listening to the director of photography, I think, talk about it. And also the costume designer had to talk about it because the costume designer had to change the costumes because they didn't look, the colors didn't, it didn't look, the white started looking black in the, on the film. So they had to change whole sections of costume and stuff like that. And I thought,
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, everything, the sets looked amazing. The shots were amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Some of the shots.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Zendaya, when she is, spoilers again, but I mean, this again, not a spoiler. Zendaya shoots a rocket, but like the shots of Zendaya shooting the rocket and how they cut that shot. So I'm not spoiling it for you, but that shot is so well done. And you can tell that Denis has like this really interesting eye and concept for how he wants things to look and how he wants things to feel. And specifically, some of those shots were really good.
The shot too, where Paul is like, there's like an area they're attacking, whatever, and something blows up and he's just staring at it.
Oh yeah.
And they show like a pen. Is it a
panoramic?
Yeah. And I was like, whoa. Yeah. Even I mean, I don't want to spoil everything.
Were you going to talk about worm riding?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, I mean, again, that's in the trailer, but he worm rides and that looks dope. I got to say.
That scene, I think it's my favorite scene in the movie.
If you told me I would find someone riding a ancient worm, desert worm, interesting, I'd be like, that sounds stupid as all.
Right?
And then you watch the movie and you're like, this is the coolest thing I've seen. Like what?
You should have seen me in the movie theater. I was literally like, oh!
Yeah.
I was getting so hyped up, like, watching that. It was insane.
I still think I like the first movie more than the second. I know some people have told me I'm crazy.
But there's things, right. There's things I liked more in the second, and there's things I liked more in the first. So
overall, though, I like the first more. If you're asking me which one had cooler elements to it, the second one has cooler moments, but overall, I didn't like that movie as much. The first one doesn't have as flashy elements, but to me had a better overall story, overall feel to it. From beginning
to end. In the
first
one?
Yeah, from beginning to end, the first one felt more consistent to me, whereas the second one has moments where I'm like, it felt jumpy. And I guess maybe that was intentional because you're supposed to feel like Paul.
So it's starting to pick up. Yeah.
And you're and I feel like Paul is supposed to be going through a tumultuous situation and doesn't know how to handle everything. And then you're watching the movie and you have, you know, like this segment and this segment feels this way. And then this segment feels different.
I actually didn't think about which one I liked more, but now that I'm thinking about it, probably the second one.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But I like how the first one was executed. Like, I think the first one was executed better.
Right.
But the second one, because so much happens and they dive more into the characters, there's a lot more character development and like, you know, showing the culture and all that. Like, it was a bit more, because the first one is really good as an introduction.
Yes.
As like a, you know, this 100%. Is what Dune is about. This is what, agreed. This is where it's going to take us.
Yeah.
But then the second one is like, it's really getting into the, what it's about.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's why I would like it more, but.
Someone said this and I actually mentioned it in my review, but I'll say it again. The first movie is the appetizer. This movie was an entree. And I understand that mentality. For me though, it felt like the first movie was an appetizer. The second movie was, even though I've ordered the entree, I'm going to have another appetizer because I like that first appetizer so much. Because.
Really?
Yeah, because, and not to say that, hey, I've gone places where the appetizers are better than the meal. So it's not to say an appetizer is a bad thing. I just get a sense of the first and the second movie. You need, like, this is the type of trilogy where, and I assume it's going to be a trilogy because I don't know how many movies they're actually going to do. Based on what people have been telling me comes down the road, you could do like 10.
I thought four.
You could do like Star Wars. It sounds like you could do 9 movies to this and you still wouldn't even make a dent in everything you want to tell us. You've heard that there's going to be 4 films?
I could be mixing up with something else, but I thought maybe there was a plan for 4. I don't know.
100%. I don't remember. They need at minimum 3. Hopefully they get to do 4 because I truly believe the first one is great. The second one has great elements, but because I feel like you said, Anya Taylor, not to spoil, but it sounds like her character is going to be important. And all we got was similarly to Shawnee in the first one, Zendaya's character at the end of the, where like you don't really see her. She's just kind of part of his dreams.
Yeah.
You're kind of like,
and also, like, is the next one going to jump
right
to the future? Like, I didn't understand that because right, like, she's a baby.
Yeah, she's a baby. Yeah. Spoiler, but yeah, she's a baby. So,
yeah, sorry. Whatever. We spoiled a bunch of stuff anyway.
No, but I agree with you. I don't fully understand what the plan is when I'm watching this movie and I'm just like, you've set up this, and this.
Or I'm guessing. Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say, I'm guessing that they're going to probably use her the way they used her in this movie. But instead it's going to be more visions and more, you know, maybe
hopefully
that's what I'm thinking. I'm not sure, but
you're not wrong. Either they do that or they have to skip ahead because it doesn't make sense otherwise.
Yeah.
And I think Anya Taylor to sit on the sidelines being a voice. I'm sorry. Why'd you even get her then? Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. But critically speaking, if I had to like the critic in me, I would, because I like to review movies based off of what it's trying to be. So I think the first one was perfect in my opinion for what it was.
Right.
For an introduction to the story.
Right. Yes.
This one, even though I actually enjoyed it more because there was more things happening, I wouldn't give it like a 5-star review because to me there was things I had issues with.
I feel like, yes. So you're saying as a critic, you don't think it's better than the first one. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's where I'm
critically speaking. If like we're talking overall about the movie, I would say the first one was made better for what it was.
Perfect. Agreed.
This one for what it was, I enjoyed it more. It was 100%. More entertaining.
I'm with you.
But yeah, there was some things that just didn't check the box for me.
Perfectly said. Perfectly said. Yes. Maybe that's how I'm feeling because I tend to kind of think of everything in this weird critical thing where I associate my personal feeling for a movie with the rating I want to give it. And
it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to separate.
It's very hard to separate. Very hard. It's good that you can do it. I'm not very good at doing that. So because of that, my critical eye, because I critically prefer the first to the second, I'm just like, oh, I like the first more than the second. But again, you're not wrong. The second is visually beautiful, fantastic storytelling, great character development, scenic acting, sound. The sound was really good.
Oh, amazing.
The score, all that stuff, you know.
More action.
There, you know, spoiler.
And, I'm sorry. Again,
Shawnee's best friend, gang, respect. Going out like a boss, but you know, like,
oh, Chani's, but yes, she was a good character.
Oh my god, fantastic!
She was a great character.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I won't say anything else.
And Javier Bardem.
Oh my god, he's so
hilarious.
Good. So good, honestly. So Javier Bardem,
I was not expecting that.
So there's this thing that people do that I love, where. I see it mostly in like the I don't love when the conservatives do it because it's crazy to me, but it's such a funny thing because Trump will do something and the conservatives will be like, look at how great of a hero he is. And then Trump will like say the opposite of that thing. And they'll be like, look at what he's doing. He's trying to protect the people. And it's like, what are you talking? So no matter what, you know what? Actually, I'll reframe it. The best version of this was when we were bugging Skinny about Swiss Beats. When we were saying he was upset about Swiss Beats' reaction to Alicia Keys. And we kept saying to Skinny kept saying, like, you know, his PR response, whatever, he had to do the response. Mm-hmm. We're like, cool. Yeah. So we're like, so the only way you would believe him is if he said what he was thinking. He's just like, yeah. I'm like, but he did. He did say the thing, and you're just like, nah, man, he's just, you know, saying what he had to say. And it's like, and that's how Javier Bardem's character acts throughout the whole movie, where he keeps having these moments of just like, look at him. He is being so noble. And I was dying in the theater when he was doing
that. I thought his character was so funny. Good. He's probably one of my favorite characters.
Facts.
Hands down.
Stilgar? Boss. Love that man. Yeah. He's so
amazing. And of course, he's a great actor.
Oh, yeah. I do not watch enough Javier Bardem films, and I need to be better with that.
Mm-hmm.
What was it I wanted to say? So I guess that's our Dune review. I think we both are definitely agreeing people should go check it out. It's a fantastic film.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, go see it. If you have a chance, did you see it IMAX, VIP? Which format did you see it in?
No. Regular? IMAX was sold out. Oh, yeah. No, I saw it in AVX, at least.
Oh, that's a good experience.
AVX at the Forum.
Good sound.
Yeah. The AVX at the Forum specifically
is
my favorite theater.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Cool. I mean, I love IMAX. But it's not, like, just my preference. I prefer AVX specifically at the Forum because I don't think the one at Scotia is that amazing.
Okay. Yeah, because the Forum AVX is a huge theater. Like, I remember going into that theater the first time, and I was just like, The screen is huge. And I sat because I didn't realize how big the screen was. I bought seats that were too close because I thought the middle was close enough. And I needed to pretty much be almost at the back. Like, it was intense watching a movie from the middle because I was like, I gotta look. Yeah. So definitely.
Yeah, same.
I saw it in VIP, feet kicked up, drinking a VIP. Why? I like VIP. I love VIP.
Really?
I'm a spoiled.
Sorry. No. Hold on. Wait. I'm not talking about because you want to sit back and relax and get
the screen,
you
know,
food
smaller.
Served to you. It's just the quality of the screen and the quality of the sound is not as good.
That's fair.
As AVX or IMAX.
Fair.
But I'm not judging you. Like, 100%. I totally understand going to VIP.
Until they give me an ultra AVX theater where I can kick my feet up and someone brings me a drink and a burger.
That's what they should do.
I'm going to do VIP. I don't have a choice.
I don't understand. VIP is supposed to be this like extravagant experience that you're paying extra money for. Why are the theaters not AVX?
The screens are so small. There's one VIP theater that has one of the smallest screens I've ever seen. And every time I see a movie in that one, I'm always just like, God damn, this is almost slightly just bigger than my TV. I feel like I'm watching just a little bit bigger than my TV. I know it's funny, but
it makes no sense. But
at least I pay for an overpriced slushy vodka drink and I'm okay with that.
Worth it.
Worth it. Totally worth it. So go check out Dune. I will say very quickly about the BBC Three. There are two shows that are coming out. Let me rephrase. BBC Three, first of all, is what I now call England CW. The type of shows that they're putting out are very CW MTV type shows. There's two shows right now that got released this season. One show is called Domino Day, which is about a witch and her trying to figure out her powers. If you guys look up Domino Day, I'm seeing a lot of people reacting, like a lot of the like people who are into like witch and Obeah and hoodoo and stuff like that are finding it interesting because at least it seems like the show is trying to do those types of characters justice. So go check it out. And then the other show. The other show that
is
I'm
it good? Really,
a Domino Day episode 1 and 2, I enjoyed. I don't know how my partner liked, but I liked them. I did like them. Why'd you make that face? Oh, did I?
You said 1 and 2. Did it get bad?
I didn't watch the rest yet. I only watched episode
one. Okay.
Sorry. I've only watched the first two episodes of that show. Okay. The other show that they have is a show called Borders, which is spelled B-O-A-R-D-E-R-S. And it's about kids at a boarding school. It's about five black kids who get a chance to go to this really prestigious white board. It's not a white boarding school, but it's a boarding school that's predominantly just white students. That show actually got picked up by Tubi and will be available on Tubi in Canada as of March 8th. So in 2 days. I was planning to do reviews of each episode before they dropped. I will not have a chance to do them because I couldn't even finish the show myself. In true British fashion, there's six episodes, but they're 45 minutes. And one of the things I always say about British television is they actually pack in their shows. Like, there's never a wasted moment in a British show to me. Every time I've watched a British show, I'm like, oh, every scene is a scene. It's not like sometimes where American shows, for some reason, you're just watching someone listen to music. And I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? Why are you sitting?
There's a lot of filler.
Oh my god, the filler on American shows sometimes drives me nuts. But the Brits don't do filler. They like every scene, especially when you're watching the show Borders. Every scene is a commentary on something. You have these five black kids. There's a girl at the boarding school who is mixed, who doesn't tend to identify with her black culture. There's a whole sub story about that, like her interacting with her, because she ends up being roommates with the one black girl that ends up there. So there's
I just find the European film industry is better in general.
Oh yes. Yeah. I was saying, so when I was talking to my partner, one of the things I said was, you know, it's funny because I call this the British CW, but the British CW is probably better than American network television. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's
the British shows just always have more. I just find them better. It is what it is. So I would tell people when Borders comes out on Tubi on Friday, I know there's going to be ads. I got to watch it without ads because BBC Three version of the show didn't have ads. But I would say if you have a chance, episode one and two is very good. My favorite character so far is Jaheim. I think I try not to, but unfortunately I do identify with Jaheim because Jaheim is this character who is kind of a street thug, but you realize like, oh, he's actually super smart. He just doesn't have the same access as the other kids. And then, you know, he gets beat up by the white kids at one point because he shows them up in playing rugby. Like he's never played rugby before. And then he whoops their asses. And then they all get mad because they're just like, oh, he doesn't even play this sport. And he's so much better at it than you. So people get mad.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is, but I would say, check it out. And when it comes out on Friday, I guess we should get to it because we have, I know the kids are gonna ask us for it, but here we go. News and rumors. We only have like three pieces of geek news. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to. I'll make the sad one last. That we can so I'll start off with Daria character Jody from do you guys remember the Jody Landon, the black girl from Daria? She was like the Janessa. I know we always joke about age and how you're like, it's just a number.
You're talking about the cartoon, right?
Yes. Did you ever watch the cartoon Daria?
I love that show. I still watch it now.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So Jody, the character from Daria, was supposed to have her own show with Tracy Ellis Ross doing the voice, and it got canceled. They were supposed to
like,
do
like a spinoff of Daria?
Yeah. I know. No. You didn't even know. Yes. It's really sad. So Tracy Ellis Ross was supposed to do the show, and they were supposed to bring it, and people are very excited about it because Jody is a really cool character. She was very ambitious on the show and stuff like that.
Daria was a great show. Yeah.
Yeah, Daria was a great show. And, you know, everyone was kind of excited for the idea of like seeing cameos and other characters pop up in the background. They canceled it before it got to air, which is really sad. But like we were saying, this is more of the problem with so many streaming platforms. You're asking, there's only so many eyeballs, folks, and they're not going to watch everything. Some of these streaming shows now probably have less than 10,000 people watching them. I'm telling you that number. Maybe even less than that, because at one point there was like 500 new shows being created a year spread across all the streaming platforms. You think everyone was watching all of them? My crazy ass was watching all of them, but most people don't do that. I also watch TV at 1.5. So
I was about to say that.
That's also a problem. So yeah, I'm telling y'all. So that show got canceled. The other bit of news that maybe more positive or maybe not, depends on how you feel. Avatar: The Last Airbender has been renewed for not just season two, but for season three, meaning we are getting all three books of Avatar: The Airbender as of right now. Now, is it possible for Netflix to decide to cancel something after they do a second season because the numbers aren't high enough? Yes, unfortunately. It is a possibility. So as much as I'm excited for this, I'm also weary of Netflix because I don't trust them. They don't always follow through on their deals. That's just the nature of the beast.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the last one, which I've seen so many people talk about, and a lot of people are sad about it, Rooster Teeth is shutting down after 21 years. So Rooster Teeth is biting the dust after more than two decades. Parent company Warner Brothers Discovery, after unsuccessful attempts to sell the unprofitable fandom gaming and comedy entertainment division, is shutting down Rooster Teeth operations. RT General Manager Jordan Levin announced the shutdown of Austin-based Rooster Teeth at an all-hands meeting Wednesday and in a memo distributed to staff. The closure of Rooster Teeth will result in layoff of its approximately 150 full-time employees and throw dozens of contracts and content creators out of work as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really sad. Rooster Teeth celebrates its 20th birthday last year with the launch of a new logo and new tagline, Just Playing. The company had cultivated an ardent fan base and became an internet video destination years before the advent of YouTube. Is the first viral video came with the 2003 debut of Red versus Blue, an animated comedy series that popularized Makima. The company's name was derived from the dialogue in the original trailer for Red versus Blue, in which the voice narrator is dissed by the subtitler as cockbite. All right. Yeah. So crazy.
Dang, I mean, what's happening?
Yeah. Dude, like I said, it's the industry. It just like CMJ, just like Just for Laughs, everyone is tight on money.
I know.
And these companies keep talking about how they've had record years, but you had record years off the work that you had people doing that you weren't paying them properly for. Then they went on strike, and now they're asking for proper pay. So now the cost of projects goes up. And then you're going to cut the projects. You know, like when the strike started, I said to myself, I don't expect the industry to be as let's say the industry is at 100. After the strike, I fully expect the industry to be at 70%. Like 30% of the people in the industry in California, you know, you're not going to be actors. You're not going to be writers. You're not going to be directors and showrunners. People are going to lose jobs. A lot of people are going to leave that industry and be like, oh, there's no room for me here because the industry is not doing well. And that's it. It's sad, but it's what was going to happen because, unfortunately, the industry got bloated.
Yeah.
It got bloated.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's like the end of an era.
Yeah, honestly, I've heard people refer to the era, the golden era of television. You know, like you had Succession someone said from Sopranos to Succession is the golden era of television. And I was just like, oh, wow, that's an interesting window.
But
they were saying like Sopranos was like one of the epitome of like, you know, HBO good quality television. And Succession was the last show that HBO had that was of the same ilk, like that high standard, everyone was excited about it type show. And House of the Dragons might be similar, but with the industry kind of shrinking, what does that mean for House of the Dragon next year? You know,
yeah,
it survived, but partially British. It's not only an American show. So,
oh, really?
Well, it's partially British produced. It's a lot of British actors. It's
okay. Yeah. The actors. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, the industry is a weird, fickle beast.
This is Blockbuster all over again.
That might have to be the title. You said it in the last minute, but this is Blockbuster all over again and it's pretty solid. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be it's gonna be interesting to see what happens next. But with that said, you know, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll keep telling you about the good stuff and how to, and you know, and as much as I say I like to sail the seas, the things that I want to support and see survive, I will figure out a way to support them. If it's not paying for them by watching them, I will be talking about them here. I will be buying the merch. I will potentially buy DVDs of shows. You know, Moon Knight Season 1, the complete series, is on DVD or Blu-ray now. And I might buy that because I want to support that show because I liked Season 1. So
buy it before everything goes crazy expensive.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's about to happen. Yeah. It's not even about. It's pretty much here.
It's happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
everything's expensive now.
Yeah.
All right. Anything you want to tell people? Oscars?
Yes. Oscars this weekend. Yeah. I'm hosting a little Oscar watch party at Chaque Mois. You can follow us on our Instagram page, Not a Movie Club, at Not a Movie Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're watching the Oscars. I'm not a huge fan of the Oscars, but it's going to be fun.
I'm not a fan either, but watching with friends sounds fun.
Yeah, there's gonna be ballots, there's gonna be, you know.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Some draws to win stuff. So
are you gonna come out? Are you guys gonna be doing drinking games?
No, but there will be alcohol.
All right, there you go. All right, folks. That's the whole show. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Geek Sypha. We always have a blast with you guys. And make sure to follow us on all socials at Geek Sypha, GEEKCYPHA. And don't forget, we play old throwback episodes on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on our Twitch. So that's twitch.tv/GeekSypha. We're out. Peace, y'all.
Peace out.